There is one loved me so that for me he died. He's my dear, precious Savior, so true. On the cross for my sins, he was crucified. I want to see Jesus, don't you? Jesus, don't you, my Savior, so faithful and true. When I reach the strand of that love bright land, oh, I want to see Jesus, don't you? When I'm weary and faint, he is always near. With his joy, he my strength doth renew. Comforts my heart, speaking words of cheer. I want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to see Jesus, don't you? My Savior, so faithful and true. When I reach the strand of that love bright land, oh, I want to see Jesus, don't you? Fairer than lily or rose to me, and his blessings fall soft as the dew. Oh, my heart, how it longs his dear face to see. To see Jesus, don't you? I want to see Jesus, don't you? My Savior, so faithful and true. Strand of that love bright land, oh, I want to see Jesus, don't you? There's a place for my soul that he doth prepare, and its beauty by faith I can view. First of all, when I enter that mansion fair, I want to see Jesus, don't you? Jesus, don't want you, my Savior, so faithful and true. When I reach the strand of that love bright land, oh, I want to see Jesus, don't you?
Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know just as I also am known.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I cast the camera in my mind back to 1989, I am living in Waterford. I had just moved to the area the previous October, and I was laying on my bed reviewing my tapes, the tapes of my life. I really did not know what to do, and so I picked up a telephone directory and began flipping through the pages. I located the nearest Seventh-day Adventist church. I dialed the number. The voice on the answering machine was so calming, I knew at that moment I would be returning to church. I remember the pastor, Pastor Blake, coming to visit with me, and we talked for a long while about love and heaven, God's love, and specifically my understanding of love. As the conversation was ending, he asked me, "Why do you want to go to heaven?" Well, the one pressing thought I had at the moment was to see my grandfather, and I told him that, because my grandfather was the only person up to that point that really taught me about love. Pastor Blake listened, he smiled, and then he said, "Hugh, I want to go to heaven, but I want to see Jesus." That thought has had a profound impact on my life from that day forward. You see, there are many things and places that I would like to see. Historic parts of this country, places other than the United States, not just other places on the earth, to see other aspects of God's creation. I would like to see some of the places that Jesus walked while he was on earth. I would like to see my children surrender their hearts to the Lord and accept him as their Savior. I would like to see my grandchildren accept Christ as their Savior also and begin to function as productive members of society. I want to always see through the Holy Spirit's leading, right from wrong, and be obedient. But my greatest desire has been to see God. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We all have a desire to see, but not all of us have the same ability to see. There are those among us who have limited vision. We have problems with our eyes. They may be out of focus, and so we find it hard to see clearly. Some of us have what they call weak eyes, and so we go through these exercises to strengthen them. My grandmother, she had a cataract, and it impeded her ability to see. And there are those of us who wear glasses. Some wear contact lenses, and it's used to correct farsightedness or nearsightedness. For some people, seeing different colors is impossible. It's hard for them to discriminate. We've all heard of individuals who've written poems or songs or done paintings or designed huge structures from what they have seen within themselves or have gotten the inspiration from coming in contact with someone or something. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:9 suggests that there are three ways of seeing. And so I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and we'll read verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And that says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Three ways of seeing, Paul says. We all understand what it means to see with the natural eye, because this is how we get around and how we acknowledge the things that God has created, the birds, the flowers, the rivers, the animals, and so on. We also utilize our physical sight to read and admire the faces of those around us. A second way we see is as though we're in school and being taught. A teacher presents some abstract concept, and as we listen, we begin to grasp it. As we get a full understanding of it, we remark something like, I see what you mean. Or as my children would say when they were younger, I got it, Daddy. I got it. I figured it out. And so as that knowledge is developed, one begins to see both physically and mentally. But the third sight that Paul suggests is when a truth has entered into the heart of man. And this may sound strange, but the heart has eyes also. Have you ever heard a song? Heard a poem or a sermon, looked at a part of God's creation and been moved to tears? Not only did we hear and understand with our eyes, but also with our heart, felt it and appreciated the message. Because you see, each heart is made with a kind of canvas, and it holds a portrait of God. The question is, what kind of picture do we paint? While on earth, when Jesus saw people, the Bible tells us that he had compassion on them. Not only did he see them with his eyes, but he saw them with his heart also. And so as we also reread the Bible stories, they become alive in us and begin to have meaning. You know, you may have heard me tell the story before, but recently while visiting a young man in jail, we were talking about the Bible and he had no idea what the Bible said or he couldn't bring back to memory anything. So we started to talk. And he said the one thing he remembered was something about a shepherd. And so I opened the Bible to the 23rd Psalm and began to read the 23rd Psalm to him. And as I did, this man in front of me started to cry. And he's like, "Well, okay, what's going on?" He said, "I remember that. And I'm really glad that you read it for me because it reminds me that even in jail, I have a shepherd who watches over me." And it was really touching to see that, you know. But talking about the heart, we can ask Martha if when she saw Cleo, she immediately knew that she loved him. Because she saw him not only with her eyes, but with her heart. And that's the same for any one of us who falls in love. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to come to the place where we see God through the eyes of our heart. Have you ever felt God with your heart and tried to design a picture? What did you come up with? Jesus told his disciples in John 14, verse 9, that he that has seen me hath seen the Father. But not everyone that saw Jesus with their physical eyes saw the Father. And so he told them numerous parables and worked miracles about blindness and healing the blind, hoping to correct their sight so that they might see clearly. His disciples and most of the crowd seeing him with physical eyes could not discern who he was. And so they missed the significance of the parables and the miracles because their blindness prevented their heart from seeing even the human need around them. Their focus on their traditions blinded them to the spiritual realities before their very eyes. And so they could not see that Jesus of Nazareth was God in the flesh. And even today, many of us who study his word do so without really seeing him. Because to really see God in Christ, we must experience him in our heart. at that point, our understanding of him changes from an intellectual knowledge of him to one where our understanding begins to become internalized. I remember praying with a friend one day, and when it was her time to pray, she said that she couldn't. And when I asked her why, she said that the God she knew was punishing her, but that if I prayed, Jesus probably could speak to God for her. Is this your God? There's an old hymn that we'll be using today for our hymn of separation. It's in your bulletin. And I'd like to read the first stanza to you right now. It says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart." My brothers and sisters, we can never see God until our heart sees Christ. For us to see God is to realize him, to feel him, to center all the affections of our heart in him. But because of our inability to see correctly, it is possible that some of us may walk away with a distorted picture of him. This past September, I attended my niece's wedding in England, and I am now recalling a conversation that I had with a cousin of mine 4 years earlier while visiting Sherwood Forest in England. He was proudly showing Deborah and myself a piece of sculpture that he had on display in front of the museum. It was of Robin Hood sitting on his horse with a sword held high. And walking through the museum and remembering the childhood stories brought back to my mind an old one. And I'm not sure if you know this one. It's the quest of the Holy Grail. The story is about the mystic cup used at the Last Supper. It is said that Joseph of Arimathea caught the last drops of Jesus' blood as he hung on the cross. Sir Galahad and the other knights of the Round Table set out to find this cup. According to the story, they found it, but each saw it through the eyes of their own heart. Some of the knights saw it through a sort of misty cloud with a blurry vision. Sir Lancelot saw it, but because his heart was sinful, his vision that he saw it with was stern and filled with retribution. Sir Galahad, he saw the Grail, and because his heart was pure, it is said that his vision was clear and glorious. How we see God, my brothers and sisters, it depends on the condition of our heart. Some of us see him as a cloudy, mysterious figure. To others, he is a stern, punishing God, someone to be afraid of. But to the pure in heart, he is a friend and a constant, desired companion. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We wonder sometimes to ourselves about our sinful condition and conclude, my heart has lost its ability to see clearly, and question, can it be corrected? Quite often we find ourselves doing the same things over and over again and feel condemned because we realize that our heart is not pure. We just don't understand how God could continue to love us and forgive us when we keep making the same mistakes time after time after time. And so we conclude that if only we could stop doing this one thing that reflects an impure heart, God would accept us. Let me call your attention to the story of Mary Magdalene. She had so many things wrong with her. Think of the things that we are told she did. Her behavior caused people to want to stay away from her. But one day she came in contact with Jesus, and in him she saw renewal and remission. As he offered her life, her heart loved so much that her love was poured out on him right before his crucifixion. The others watching her could not understand it. They could not understand her. But Jesus had touched her life, and her heart responded with praise and love. She took him into her heart, and he so filled her heart that her evil desires had nowhere to live any longer. Filled with his purity, she became pure. Our Father, through Jesus, offers us the same cleansing of heart. Jesus came to give the gift of eternal life by revealing God. We cannot love God until we trust Him, and this we cannot do until we begin to see with our heart. In the final scenes of Jesus' life, we see Mary standing at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother, watching as her heart breaks. Her heart realizes that something must be done with his body before it begins to decay, and so she goes back after the Sabbath day's rest with spices to anoint him. This is when she finds out that his tomb is empty. In her sadness, with questions swirling in her mind as to what might have happened, she comes in contact with a stranger. Upon hearing the stranger's voice, her heart recognizes him. In John 20, verse 16 says she cries, "Rabboni," dear master. It's a term of endearment. The only other time this word was ever used in the Bible was by another blind person that saw with his heart, blind Bartimaeus. This Jesus desires us to come to him personally with a trusting, clear vision of heart, knowing that he will take care of our need and he will open our eyes. This is the same Mary that Jesus commissioned to tell the disciples and the visually impaired Peter that she had seen him, that he is risen. My brothers and sisters, if Mary could become clean and accepted again, there is hope for each and every one of us here today. She saw Christ with her heart. Don't you want to see him with your heart also? What kind of picture of him do you carry in your heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, instructs us that this same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him going into heaven. Yes, that same Jesus is coming back again to receive us. But even before Jesus came to earth that time, people who had a heart to see God knew what he had in store for us, his people. Because Daniel in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "I saw in the night vision, and beheld, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him." Revelation 1:7 continues the refrain, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, there are certain virtues which are distinctively Christian. Among these, we find humility. Desire of Ages, page 650, informs us that while pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. By his example, our Savior encourages us to develop this virtue by rendering mutual service. Every day brings some opportunity of rendering service of some kind or other to those with which we come in contact with, because we are his hands, his feet, his eyes to touch those around us. And so it is in Christ that we as Christians find the motive and the model of unselfishness, humility, and benevolent service. Christ instructs us, "Do this in remembrance of me." The hallowed representations to the eye and the pledges to the soul of that never-failing hope given us by the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for us until his kingdom come. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pen of inspiration in Desire of Ages again tells us that as we receive the bread and the wine symbolizing Christ's broken body and spilt blood, we, in imagination, join the scene of communion in the upper chamber. We seem to be passing through the garden consecrated by the agony of him who bore the sins of the world. We witness the struggle by which all reconciliation with God was obtained. Christ is set forth, crucified among us. And so, As we collectively cast our mind's eye back and with reverence look at the cross, we see sorrow and love flow mingled down. And as our hearts see, we ask, did ere such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? We realize that that sorrow was born, and that that death was died for us, for our sins. And each time as we eat that bread and drink of that vine, we celebrate our own personal need of a divine Savior. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Today, as we come to celebrate all that Jesus has done for us and the hope that he gives us, let us plead with him to give us an accepting heart, a heart that sees him and receives him for who he is, our Savior and our Redeemer. If you want to be ready to see him when he returns, then begin to see him with your heart today. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Open the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Open the coming of the Lord. We are united in Jesus Christ our Lord.